Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
God. Yes, God. Glory to God. And it's all the blood. All the blood. All the blood. All the blood of Jesus. Yeah.
prayed. Somebody prayed for the blood.
Good evening. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Wow, what a joy it is to be able to come together and end our night with each other. I am Pastor Kimberly Black. I am your host for tonight. I want to welcome you to the Light of Portland, where we come together every Sunday night for praise, prayers, and preaching. I'm excited that you called in on tonight on Resurrection Sunday. We have a treat in store for you on tonight, and I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in our midst and what he's getting ready to do. I'm not going to spend time in talking tonight. I'm not going to spend time, but I want to read something to you, and then we're going to have prayer and have a song, and then be ready to receive the word on tonight from our very own Elder Ketty. Amen. She's going to come to us. She's with us every fifth Sunday. She is no stranger to the Light of Portland family. We look forward to fifth Sundays because we know that God is going to bless us with a word from the woman of God. But tonight I want to read something to you from Matthew 28, 1 through 10. And I know you probably heard this earlier today. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly. Somebody say quickly. And tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly, somebody say quickly, from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Hallelujah. We come to worship the risen Savior on today. We come to give him glory and honor. We come because he died that we may have life and have life more abundantly. It's because of Jesus we are from sin. We are free from the death. We are free from hell, and we're free from the grave. Come on, somebody. We're grateful tonight what the Lord has done in our midst, and we're just so excited. We're so excited. And I'm grateful that you chose to spend the night in the presence of the Lord with us. You want to end your night in his presence. I'm excited about that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, your tender mercy. Father, we just come before your throne of grace with humble hearts tonight, our hands lifted up, our eyes, Lord, fastened on you, Father, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, you are our creator. You are our sustainer. It is in you we live, breathe, and have our being. And God, we're grateful tonight. We love you, Father God, with an everlasting love. Father, forgive us of our sins, sins of omission, sins of commission. Father, please create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. God, we bless your name tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would bless those that are sick among us. Pray for those who are incarcerated. Father, we ask that you would give wisdom, give strength, give power to your people, Father, that need you the most, Father. We all need you for one thing or another, but somebody tonight is considering suicide. Somebody tonight, Father, don't know if they should go to the left or to the right. But God, I pray that they would look unto you, the author and the finisher of their faith. I pray, God, that they would seek you, Father, for all things. For all things, Father, that come from you are good. So God, tonight we speak life over your children. We speak hope over your children. Father, we speak power over your children. Let the anointing, Father, flow from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. God, do it in the name of Jesus. And we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies tonight, God. Heal in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless the woman of God who's going to come before us to proclaim your word. Give her preaching power, oh God. Then, God, those of us that are listening, give us a spirit, Lord God, and a willingness to hear what the word has to say. And then let us be obedient, Father, to your word. God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we bless you, oh God. And we give you glory and honor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Come on, give it up for the Straight Gate Man.
Oh, somebody come on and magnify him now. Give him some glory. Come on, just open your voice, open your mouth and magnify him. Oh yeah, he's worthy. He's the great I am. Come on, somebody, come on. Oh yes, he is. He's the Holy One. Lord bless you. He is the King. The great
good evening to each and every one of you. I hope you all can hear me on the broadcast, to you, Pastor Pennington and Pastor Black, and to all of you that make up the body of light of the world of Portland broadcast. I appreciate every single last one of you for the opportunity to come before you on this Resurrection Sunday, a day that is being celebrated even all around the world. We're celebrating a risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank you all. My name is Elder Ketty Wolford, and I'm coming from you from Mableton, Georgia. Mableton, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Total Truth Restoration Ministries, under the leadership of one Bishop Washington, Pastor Jacqueline Laws, Pastor Pamela Laws, and Elder Robert Laws. I greet every single last one of you, to my husband, William Wolford, to our lovely children, Chance, Joy, and Hope. Thank you all for the opportunity to come to speak to you on tonight. I am not going to hold you long. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? The text is coming from John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Let us read it, and then we'll pray. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Come and you'll see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 10 in the morning. Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means anointed one. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means rock. The next day, he decided to leave from Galilee. Jesus found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And his response, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said about him, "Here is a true Israelite, no deceit is in him." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe only because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I assure you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of the Lord ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And the reading of God's word is blessed. Amen. Dear precious and eternal God, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for those who are joining on the broadcast. We thank you and we bless your name for today, oh God, that those who are celebrating you, Father, knowing, God, that you are risen, God, that you have resurrected, oh, Father God. Father God, we're asking, God, that you will allow me to decrease and you increase, oh, Father. Let this word fall afresh in the ears of your people. Thank you for this broadcast, oh, God. Thank you for the Butterfields, God. Thank you for favor with man, but most of all, God, we thank you, God, that we have favor with you, oh, Father, to continue to do the work of ministry through this broadcast. We bless you. And we praise your name. As these and other blessings we ask in Jesus Christ's matchless name, we pray, we say amen, amen, and amen. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of where you're from? Can anything good come from the ministry where you're from? Can anything good come from the side of the track to where you're from, your upbringing? Can anything good come out of a small place, a small city, a region that is not well known, a place that most people overlook? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? When Nathanael asked this question of Jesus Christ, he was making a distinct difference between all the surrounding cities that were near Galilee, because Jesus Christ was from Nazareth. But Nazareth was not a place that most people even knew was existed. The people from Nazareth were looked down upon. They always took the people of Nazareth to be compared to other people in different cities. They looked at them as if they were not well off, because the people of Nazareth, they wasn't wealthy. They earned a modest living doing regular jobs. And nothing popular about it. The place of Nazareth, when I studied, was a place, a small town at the southwest of the Sea of Galilee, a small community of about maybe 500 people in Jesus' time, north of Jerusalem and well beyond Samaria. It was a small place and not near a big city. It was considered a place of nothing. It was the last place that anyone would expect anything interesting going on. Think about towns that we hear stuff. We be like, what? Anybody going to that town? That place is this. But that place is that. And it remind me of what Lodabar, a place where people do not want to be. So Nazareth did not have a good name at all. The people also looked at Nazareth as a place that had no real attention paid to it. And it only became famous for one reason, because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was from Nazareth. It says that Nazareth was a place where everybody knows your name. It was the village that Jesus Christ grew up and began his public ministry. Nazareth was one of the first places he went when he started his ministry, his own hometown, his own village. But the problem was, in Nazareth, they didn't respect him. They only saw him as the carpenter's son. See, in Nazareth, he didn't even have a name for himself. They didn't even respect his father. And when you read it in another text, when they describe who he was, when Jesus back in, I believe it was Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 4, when he went back to his hometown and he opened up the scroll and began to read, and it was Luke chapter 4 and 28, the people began to reject him after he read the scripture that was describing the Son of God, and he said, I am him who you just, I'm paraphrasing, I'm that person I just read about. This is who I am. The people looked at him and said, oh, they were so surprised. He, this got to be the one that was, you know who he is. That's the carpenter's son. They didn't even respect his father, because his father was a carpenter by trade. A carpenter was those who used tools, would make tools, and would, in the region of Nazareth where he was from, even though there were different types of carpenters, it said that Joseph most likely was a carpenter, a builder. He was a builder. He was a builder building with stones, because that area, the resource that was well known in the area of Nazareth was stone. He was a stonemason. So he would make things. And it also said that by the time, in Jewish custom, by the time their child was 12 years old, they would teach them the trade of the family. So Joseph, being a carpenter, taught Jesus at this young age of 12 about being a carpenter. And it said, as far as being a carpenter, these were the ones who would take and they would build. They work well with wood. And pretty much a carpenter could be summed up of, these are people who work very well with their hands. It said that Joseph was able to build, but in Jesus's culture, at the age of 12 years old, they had to teach him how to, he had to learn how to build, just like Joseph was able to build. It was most likely that he was building tools, doors, shelves, tables. And it also said that it being a carpenter was not a prestigious job in that time. Most likely he was able to create farm tools, carts and plows and forks and yokes and these things that were part of a house, like door frames, posts and beams, furniture and kitchen utensils. Here's the thing about being a carpenter. They could not buy their own lumber. Most likely they had to cut down their own trees and use the tools that they made to be able to chop, chip, and smooth out the wood. They would have used axes, hammers, saws, planes, chisels. And carpentry was a very physically demanding trade. So as a 12-year-old, as we look at Jesus Christ, he learned the ways of his culture from his father, how to be a carpenter. But we got to remember that was not a well-respected trade. Just like in today's time, they still don't respect the trades, but it is the most necessary industry that is needed. In the trades, you have plumbing and electricity and HVAC and welding, refrigeration. Let your we don't know how important things are, a trade is, until that washer and dryer go down. We don't understand how important the trades are until that heater stop working in the middle of the cold, or in the midst of the summer, it's burning up hot outside and 90 plus degrees. We don't respect the trades, and we don't see how important the trades are until that electrical line, there's an electrical shortage in that household. Now we need somebody to come fix it. It is one of the most necessary but yet overlooked industry. And they did Jesus Christ the same way. He was the most important, but he was also overlooked in his own city of Nazareth. And so it also described the people of Nazareth, their dialect was not the same. So they didn't sound like everybody else in the region. They didn't talk the same. They didn't walk the same. They didn't act like the people in the other small villages. And so when they begin to talk about Jesus Christ in the town that he was from, his own town was not respected at all. But then we have this dialogue. We see him calling the disciples. John the Baptist began to talk about Jesus in front of two of his disciples, which in the study it described it was John, the author of the book of John, and Andrew. And they decided to follow Jesus Christ. And so as they followed along, there he calls on Peter and calls Peter the stone. Then he called on Philip, and Philip went on ahead and followed him. He said, come and see. See, they was inquiring. They wanted to know where he was staying. Their one question, they were inquisitive. They were questioning. They wanted to know, well, where are you staying at? What you doing? Where are you staying at? So he said, well, come and see. And he invited them in. Not only did he invite them in, he was inviting them to a relationship. And when they got there to where he was staying, they end up staying longer than anticipated, because remember, he was the rabbi. He was a master teacher. So I could see Jesus teaching them and learning, and they were learning things that they have never heard before. And they say, you know what? Time is well spent. We thought we was coming over here for like a quick 15 minutes just to see where you would stand. But my goodness, your teaching is so good. Let me just sit at your feet for a minute. So they didn't leave. And then as they continued the journey, he now called Philip. Philip and Nathaniel, the history of Philip and Nathaniel, they were best friends. That they was BFFs. They grew up in the same village town. Here's the irony. They grew up in Bethsaida in the village of Cana. And Cana was in the same area of where Nazareth was. Nathaniel was very well known, and Nathaniel was very aware of the other villages in his area. Him and Philip were very smart. They were students of the word. They studied the word. They went under the fig tree. Philip would go under the fig tree, and he would study. It was customary that when the Jews wanted to study the Old Testament and the laws of Moses, they would sit up under the fig tree. And so he was sitting up under the fig tree. Him and Philip would have times of just studying, and they weren't studying to debate others. it said that in the study that Nathaniel was so studious and so passionate about reading and wanting to know more about the coming Messiah and wanting to know more about who he might be when he gets on the scene and what is he about and what is the law Moses has to say. It said in his spare time, reading the word of God was his hobby. He was just so passionate. But the beautiful thing about Nathaniel was that he didn't study because he didn't want to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because only the well-educated were the ones who were reading and studying that way, just so that they can gather together and reason together what they had learned so that they can get more revelational knowledge. And some of them was using the word of God so that they can be deceitful to the people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But that not Philip and not Nathaniel. They just wanted to read the word because they enjoyed being in the presence of God. They enjoyed knowing who God was and who is this to come? Who is this Messiah, this Lamb of God? Who is he that's about to come on the horizon? So when Philip has the encounter, he's excited. He says, we found him. He had to go run and tell his boy, oh, we found him. We found him. We found him. And so Nathaniel like, I don't know about that. Nathaniel had a personal problem. He had personal bias. He figured that we from Cana. We better than them Nazarites. Nothing good. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But you got to remember, Cana was just in the baddest shape as Nazareth. It was a place where nobody wanted to be either. So he was being prejudiced. Cana was the rivalry place of Nazareth. He was being biased towards Nazareth, not realizing you're in the same boat. Cana is not well known. People don't know nobody there. The only people who know each other is the people who stay in a small town. Small town and small villages, everybody know each other by name or they know them by description. Think about it. You live in a small region, a small area, a small little community in your subdivision. They might not know your name, but they might describe who you are. You know, the lady over there, the short lady, the dark-skinned lady, the tall lady with the two kids. You know, the lady who got the grandbabies. You know that man that stays over there with the red car. You know the one I'm talking about. Everybody knew each other. Everybody knew each other. Scribed. And so when Nathaniel coming in with his prideful self talking about could anything good come out of Nazareth, baby, think about where you are from. You might not have the dialect. You may not be able to articulate the words. You may not have all of the degrees and the pedigrees and the stature and the looks and the know how to dot the I's and cross the T's like everybody else. But can anything good come out of the town where you are? God says in Genesis that when he made everything, it was very good. It's surprising that Nazareth is the place that God decided to have Jesus to be born out of. He didn't come in a place of popularity. He didn't come some people were looking for the Messiah to look a certain way, to just like on Palm Sunday. How could he be coming in on a donkey? That don't represent no king. Kings don't come in that way. Kings supposed to come in have all these a mob of people following them and chariots of gold and got to be seen. And Jesus Christ didn't do that. He came from Nazareth. So when Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth, think about where you from. Think of the mindset of the people around you who don't know you, who remember to owe you, and they looking at you in your walk, and they looking at you in your beliefs of Jesus Christ and who he is and the power and the authority that you're walking in, and yet they still don't believe nothing good could come out of your little city where you from. How dare she? See, I'm originally from Miami, Florida. Can anything good come out of Miami? But see, I'm from an area in Miami is separated. Here you got Liberty City, but within Liberty City you got Overtown, you got Little Haiti, and then you got over there where the Cubans stay over there on that side of town, and then on the other side you got where mostly is predominantly your Haitians, or on another side is mostly your Jamaicans, on the other side is mostly your Caucasians. And see, the place where I'm from, I'm from Little Haiti, so that's one part of it, of one part of Liberty City that makes up the melting pot. Can anything good come out of Liberty City? Could anything good come out of Little Haiti? Now think about where you from. Can anything good come out of it? Because you are called by Jesus Christ. You are good. You are stepped and sealed just like Jesus Christ. You are important. You are chosen. You are called. And from a place of all the billions of people walking this earth, God stopped and said, I've called you and I have chosen you. So can anything good come out of your town? So to answer his question, Jesus already knew Nathanael. As Nathanael was yet on his way to meet him to see who Philip talking about, my boy just told me that he done found the Messiah, that the person that we have been reading about. I need to go check it out for myself. And on his way, before he get there, Jesus Christ declared with a loud voice, "Oh, here is a true Israelite. No deceit is found in him." And so this made Nathanael look and say, how you know me? How you know me? How do you know me? And so the response that Jesus gives back to him is, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He'd only see him in the physical. He seen him in the spiritual, because remember I told you it was customary for the Jews to sit up under the fig tree to learn and know about the word of God. Time sitting under the fig tree of intimacy, getting to know who God is on themselves, studying the Old Testament. He saw him in the spirit. He saw him meditating under the fig tree is where we confess our sins and we go into a place of repentance. Under the fig tree is where we meditate on his word day and night. Under the fig tree is where we have intimacy with God. So he tells him, I saw you before Philip called you. I saw you in the spirit. God is saying the same thing to all of us. I see you every time you go into your secret place of the Most High God. I see you every time you pray unto me. I see you every time you call my name. I see you every time you decide to repent and turn away from the things that is not pleasing in my sight. I see you. And so Philip discerns that he is a man of God. Philip knows there's no way he could know these things about me except God revealed it to him. God allowed Jesus Christ to have a word of knowledge for Philip, and when he says that there's no deceit found in him, there's no trickery, he's not taking what he learns in studying the laws of Moses with Philip and Nathanael. No, Nathanael is not taking the word and tricking the people and using the word for the people to serve him. He's learning the word because he truly loves God and he wants to know who Messiah was. As a matter of fact, every single disciple that was called, as you can see, every time he called one of them, they said, "We found him." That means in order for something to be found, I had to be seeking him. They were diligently seeking the Messiah to see when is he going to come on the scene, because we need a Savior. God has to find us in a place where we're seeking him. In order for him to find us, we have to be seeking out for him. We have to seek out. We have to go searching for him. They were found looking for him. So he said, oh, yeah, because they was already searching for me. They was already studying my word. I need them on my team. I need them to follow me because they were looking for me anyway. Are we spending that time under the fig tree, our own personal fig trees? Your fig tree could be your prayer closet. Your fig tree could be the meeting place where you sit and just relish in the bask in the presence of God. Your fig tree, God could say, I see you. I see you. And so he continues on. Nathanael replies, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. John the Baptist starts this chapter off by calling him the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that is going to be slain, just like the lamb in Passover, to die. When during the Passover, the children of Israel, God instructed them to cover their doors with the blood of the lamb so that when the death angel was coming through, that their homes would not be destroyed. The firstborn would not die. When that death angel came and saw the blood was covered on that door, is your home covered by the blood of Jesus Christ so that when the enemy passed by, he would know, oh, no, we can't come in here. This place belongs to the Lord. This place belongs to Jesus Christ. And he says, you are the Son of God. You are the risen King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one we're celebrating on today. And not only today, we celebrate him every day because of the sacrifice he made. He died on the cross just for me and just for you. If it was only one of us, God is so marvelous. If it was only one of us, he still would have sent Jesus Christ because he desires his intimate relationship with each and every one of us, personal level, that he said, I need to make this relationship and mend this broken relationship that came through Adam and Eve. I got to find a way to do it. So I got to send myself down to the people and be 100% human and 100% God and put myself on a rugged cross and allow them to take a thorn, oh God, a crown of thorns and put it and smash it and mash it into my head where blood is drawn from my body and let those the cattle of nine tails rip my skin off just so that I can build a personal relationship with God. I want a personal relationship with my people, so I don't mind taking the beatings on my back by those 13 stripes, because those 13 stripes have the healing of Jesus Christ within them. And God says, I have to find a way to get my people back to me, to rule God, reconcile the relationship, oh God, for the remissions of sin, the blood that was drawn on the cross, amen, that he sent Jesus Christ just for us. He is a risen king. He is the Lord of lords. There is none like him. He has risen. He is alive. His word is alive. His word is a living word. His word, we can apply it to our life. So when they ask, can anything good come out of the town where you're from? You can say, yes, it is, because God says, I am good, and I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My life imitates who Jesus Christ is. So yes, any and everything good is coming out of the place where we're from. Oh, but if we're on this broadcast and we've never had a chance to make a decision to serve him, who is this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that this woman is talking about from a place called Liberty City, from a area called Little Haiti? Who is that place? Who is she talking about that this Messiah, this Savior of the world that came from out of a nowhere, a no place, a anything, a nothing place, and became something because he decided to do the work of Jesus Christ? Oh, God, if you don't know him, tonight is a great night to get to know him. Tonight is an awesome night to know him, to give your life. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if I shall confess with my mouth and believe with my heart the Lord Jesus and that God has raised him, his resurrection, the reason why we're celebrating on today, and I believe that he was risen from the dead, then I shall be saved. And we don't need a church mortar, brick and mortar building. It can be done right there in your room like he did for me many, many years ago in a dormitory room. Salvation fell upon me in a dormitory room listening to a track made by Lauryn Hill. Salvation can come to you right where you are if you don't know him. And if you're in a backslidden state and you once upon a time you had a relationship, you something happened and broke the relationship. Remember, Nathaniel was spending time under the fig tree and he was reconciling himself, and the fig tree represented a place where you can meditate and repent and speak to God and commune with God and lay at his feet. Come on back. Mend your relationship with the good Father. With the good Father. Tonight is an awesome night to recognize that Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. He is well. And because he is alive, we can live, because he decided to get killed just so that we can live. He desired to die so that we can live. What manner of God is this that you would take yourself just for us? Come down just to be killed and martyred. Just to be humiliated, to be spat on, I'm talking spit on, just so that we can have an opportunity to reconcile our relationship back to you. God, we glorify you. We magnify your name. Thank you, God, for all the work that had been established on that rugged cross. Thank you that Jesus Christ took it. It took his assignment and he finished it to the end. And he even declared on the cross that it is finished. So on tonight, it could be finished, that running in turmoil, not knowing which way to go, one foot in, one foot out. Salvation can be your portion because he said it is finished. So as I leave from this broadcast, but not from your presence, I pray that each and every one of you know that you are important, you are chosen, you are called by God. Can anything good come out of the place where you are from because you are there. Yes, everything is good because God says it's good. Amen. Pastor Black, I turn it over to you.
Amen, amen, and amen. All I can say tonight is, wow, what a word on tonight. I thank you, Elder Ketty, for that message on tonight. I'm telling you, my soul is just bubbling over. The tip of my tongue, it's wow. That's all I've got is a wow. What a word on tonight. Thank you so much for helping us to see the importance of our personal relationship with the Lord. And then thank you for helping those that need to find Christ see that there is a need for him. Thank you so much for your message on tonight. Thank you for your time, your talent that you shared with the body of Christ tonight. We thank you, woman of God. We pray that God will bless you, that he would pour back into you all that has been poured out on you, that you poured out on us tonight. May he pour back. May he restore. May he replenish you. Amen. Well, family, it's that time that we say goodnight. We pray that you would continue to keep us in prayer, continue to keep us lifted up. Pray for each other. You might not know who's calling in, but if you, when you pray, pray for the Light of Portland. Pray for the listeners. Pray for the preacher. Pray that we continue to reach across this country to share the word of God with our brothers and sisters, some we will never, ever see. Pray that they be blessed by the word, that they be strengthened by the word, encouraged by the word. Please pray for the Light of Portland. Until next Sunday, may the peace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you all, hence, now, and forever. Know that I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister.
All right, everybody, back up on your feet. We have a simple love song that we love to sing to our Savior. It's simply called Jesus, I Love You. We've been singing it in the Portland area for years. And now we want to teach it to you and have a little fun with it. Come on, Kingdom, help me sing it. Say,
Jesus, I love you.
Now everybody just move from side to side. We decided to go choir style on this. Come on, help me say,
Jesus, I love you.
That's all the song says. Now let's lift it to our Lord and Savior. Come on, let's lift it. Jesus,
Jesus,
I love you.
I love you.
Say it again.
Jesus,
I love you.
I love you.
Come on, say it one more time.
Jesus,
I love you.
I love you.
Say it again for our sake.
Jesus,
I love you.
I love you.
I cannot.
I can love you.
Oh, you've done.
Oh, you love me. I am
that great. Out on Calvary.
Thank you for your grace.
Come on, we'll tell them.
We love you.
Come on.
for singing. You know it already. Where my sopranos at? Where my sopranos at? Where my sopranos at? Come on, sopranos, you know it.